Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Gatecast episode 94 on a very warm and admittedly severely time-shifted 4th of July, which doesn't make a lot of sense because this probably won't be released until near the end of the month.
Yes, I thought that counts.
It is, and you said it on Twitter.
Greetings, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, we have a guest.
I'm going to say, we're waiting for you to introduce her.
I'm waiting for her. She obviously didn't wait for me to introduce her, so she introduced herself.
I just said hello, and might I point out that neither one of you has yet to introduce me.
Well, to be fair, I think that's Alan's joke, because he knows you a lot better than I do.
You have a point. Alan, it's all to you, hon.
Okay, we have a guest, Adriana, because I've been very specifically given out to about this, living in Arkansas. Definitely not from Arkansas, and definitely country.
No, I was not an adult when we moved here before. I'm not from here, because it wasn't my choice.
And tonight's episode will be Beast of Burden, as previewed in the episode that we released last week. We see a reintroduction of Shaka.
I think he just likes the dramatization of pronouncing it that way.
He's like that, isn't he?
Yes.
Great, I'm being disgusted. Do we have the line it cocked?
To the right.
Great. Now I've got an up stock in my head. Adriana probably isn't familiar with because she only listens to country music.
I've not only listened to country music.
Primarily?
That is what's primarily played in this area, yeah.
Well, to be fair, she listens to country and western.
Yes, that's true, both kinds.
I'm diverse like that, what can I say?
In my experience, quite a bit. Right.
I tell Mike to cut it out, but yeah.
No, if it's interesting and potentially embarrassing to me, he definitely won't cut it out.
I know, it's so fun. I love it.
Hi, folks. This is Mike. And along with Alan, we've been considering what we should do to celebrate our 100th episode. Maybe it's not original, but we'll do something pretty simple, which can benefit the podcast and its listeners, and the current and future contributors, be it via feedback or actually coming onto the show itself. So, all we are asking is that you send us some feedback via email, gatecastpodcasts@gmail.com, with 100th episode in the title, so we know it's specific for this competition. The theme of the feedback is simply your favourite episode of SG-1, Atlantis, or SGU, and maybe a line or two why the episode is your favourite. And yes, we will accept "because it is" as an answer. The 100th episode will be Proving Ground, so that's plenty of time, and the winner will be a random drawing during the recording session. Prize is an Amazon gift certificate of around £30 UK, or the equivalent in your local Amazon store. That would be around $50 for the US store. The competition info will only be presented during the actual episodes, no mention on the website or Facebook or even Twitter. This is to make sure that only people that listen to us natter on about Stargate get a chance to win the prize. So just email entry and good luck.
So yeah, I'm queued up whenever you guys are ready.
Yep, good to go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Lower the line a little to green from yellow. That could have been an actual sky. When I saw energy bar in the transcript, I immediately thought, oh, it's a video game.
More like peanut brittle.
Yeah, I think that's an actual sky with possible moons added.
One would hope so.
They kind of had to add at least one of the moons.
They look the wrong shape.
Yep.
Pan pipe music in the background. In fact, it seems to have the entire woodwind section of the orchestra back there. We don't really focus on the music much, do we?
Because they have nothing better to do than to sit outside in the woods playing music.
Yep.
Men in hats.
I'm going to say very warm clothing.
For this kind of planet, yeah.
You don't know, it could be cold, bright sun.
That looks like a staff weapon.
It is a staff weapon.
It is.
Of course, Shaka became friendly with humans, and this is what it got him.
Didn't expect to be zatted. It's a rather more battered staff weapon.
Daniel never
He's got a goatee, which is naturally enough the beard of evil. Favored by grand viziers and madmen everywhere. In fact, I'm surprised during Absolute Power that Daniel didn't grow a goatee.
He thought about it.
Now that was a short teaser.
Wasn't it? Or about,
it was.
Actually, that was almost 2 minutes.
And no dialogue either.
No, maybe that's where I noticed the music.
Could be, yeah.
Possible. You know, I have to say, I'm kind of surprised that Daniel did not react more than he did when he saw that video.
No, give him time.
This episode written by one of our showrunners, Peter DeLuise, and directed by the ever-busy Martin Wood.
Oh, yeah. Peter was getting bored just directing and executive producing and consulting, so he thought he'd write an episode.
You've got to keep things interesting.
This episode broadcast on
August the 10th, 2001. Shares its name with episodes from Simon and Simon, if you remember that detective show, and the 70s show.
So, about a month shy of 10 years ago.
Frightening, isn't it?
Yes. Well, if nothing else, this episode might attract comments.
Well, let's hope so.
Is 2001 episode 100, or is that Wormhole Extreme?
Extreme.
It's Wormhole Extreme.
As you know, over the past year, I've been studying the Unus of P3X-888. I've made some amazing discoveries about their social structure and their culture. I've also been able to categorize almost 70 individual words from their language.
A little different look to the briefing room. We've got the rear projection display.
Yes, pretending to be a flat-screen TV.
Yeah.
These men, whoever they are, abducted the Unus I refer to as Chaka.
That's the one that kidnapped you.
They shot a lot of stuff of Chaka just being himself. Unfortunately, he was able to use brief bits of it for this scene.
Mm-hmm. The presence of Gould weapons seems contradictory.
Indeed.
What would they want with an Unus?
I don't know, but I'd like to find out.
What are you suggesting?
That was Dion Johnson in The Fifth Man. Last week's episode, wasn't it?
For the record, I don't care.
Jack doesn't care. Brutally honest.
Jacob, shut up.
I care.
Changes his mind when everybody looks at him.
Got Gould weapons and from where?
They may have other Goa'uld technology as well.
Now see, that I really care about.
And if possible, I'd like to make every effort to rescue Chaka.
Yes, Daniel's actually thought about this and he's come up with a reasonable argument.
Well, he knows how the military works. No matter how extreme or silly the idea is, if you can come up with a logical reason for doing it and throw in a bit of self-interest.
And
he actually knows how Jack thinks, but let's face it, a four-year-old could probably outthink Jack.
Part of Jack's charm, though.
See, every time I went back with SG-11 to retrieve the video footage, I would leave Chaka a gift.
They're sort of 1890s prospector-y style, aren't they?
Cowboys and aliens.
Yes, which I'm looking forward to and we'll probably see on opening weekend, if not opening night.
No.
I left the bait for their trap.
How do we find out where these men took him?
How fortunate. He got a recording of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
He's just good like that.
Yeah, lucky or good, doesn't really matter. Got the results.
Well, General, if they've got cooled weapons, you gotta wonder what else they got.
Got a point.
You have a go.
Well done, General.
And the gate's buried in the forest. You think the trees will learn not to grow too close to it?
Right? Trees really learn.
UAV shows the nearest of the surrounding towns to be 3 clicks in that direction. Evidence of a substantial population, lots of cultivated fields.
Farmers?
Farmers with staff weapons.
I imagine no roots were going to grow around that area.
Yeah.
Could be a problem. What if you have tree roots uprooting the DHD? I mean, how is the DHD? Is DHD actually physically connected to the gate? Have we ever explored that?
No, it isn't.
I don't think it is.
So it uses some weird sort of subspace dial. How far away from the gate will it walk?
Well, I suppose it uses some sort of advanced Bluetooth, so at least, 20 feet. Now, that doesn't look an efficient way to move stuff. I'm sure they've invented the wheel.
Yeah, why would they bother?
No, but even if you've got slaves, wheels still help. It still makes them more productive.
Yes, so all the work in this mine can be done by one Australian man.
Any ideas?
Well, let's see how far honesty gets us.
Notice Daniel's hair in this episode. It goes through many variations.
Yeah, it looks sort of oddly squared off. It's almost a buzz cut. And Carter's wearing a hat, so we can't make the hair twin comment.
Speaking of Carter's hair, the comment has been made to me to mention to you guys that Stargate line of beauty products has not been mentioned in quite some time.
Mm. With any load, any distance. And he has spirit.
He's just poking him for that. You know, he's going to get ticked off after a while. You keep poking him, he's eventually going to go...
Watch out, Mason.
Yep.
And there he goes.
Oh, what did they expect?
Oh, well, guess he's not for sale.
That's stock taking the brutal way.
Hmm.
Very Klingon, isn't it? The Death Howl.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Do not fear. It's dead.
Yeah. Shoot something like that in the back a couple times.
Who are you?
We're travelers, peaceful travelers.
Where do you come from? I've not seen your kind before.
Well, actually, we came through the Stargate.
If you've got a good memory for faces, you'll notice a lot of the extras were in Red Sky.
Let's just pretend they weren't. The impression these episodes were actually filmed back to back.
Yep.
No one has come through the Chapa Eye for as long as anyone can remember.
Well, now you'll have a story to tell your grandkids. We come from a planet called Earth.
The round thing.
What do you want?
Actually, we came to trade.
Hmm?
Really?
We're looking for an Unis.
Well, then. You've come to the right place. And the most respected dealer of Unis in this land.
Burrock, played by Larry Drake.
And he is evil man.
Well, at this point, he's just normal for his society. Of course, eventually, he becomes a bad guy. Otherwise, what happens wouldn't be allowed to happen.
Head trader?
I like that. And you can call me Colonel Burrock. It is our custom to welcome visitors with a drink. Will you join me?
It is our custom to drink.
Okay, I don't know if you guys just caught Jack's line, but it was great.
It'll be included. That's why it takes me so long to edit the damn thing. It'd be so much easier if I just dumped this as is.
What?
It would, but then there would be so many inappropriate things going out there on the Gatecast episode.
Now, that's a female Unis, and the meat in the dish is actually supposed to be Unis meat.
Really?
Slightly disturbing.
Yes. It does bear a distinct resemblance, to be honest with you, to either bad curry or turds.
Of course, here we also...
It looks like human excrement. I'm sorry, it does.
Thank you.
Hey, either way, rogue.
Yeah.
You thank a beast?
Yes, positive reinforcement. We find it a successful method of training.
I'm curious to learn more about your methods. And to learn more about where you came from.
Here we see Richard Dean Anderson's little quirk with Jack. Place a cup in front of him, he picks it up and looks at it.
And sniffs it, and looks slightly puzzled. And sort of, you know, I don't have lines, I'm going to emulp my little arse off.
Probably Unis milk or something.
I was going to say...
Oh, now that's disturbing.
What, Unis milk?
Yeah.
Oh, ferment it, make it an alcoholic beverage. Yeah, works wonders, brilliant.
Okay, suddenly it's not so disturbing.
Yeah.
That's the way to get on board. Mention the words alcohol beverage.
You do get hillbilly hick vibe from these people. Living in the wilderness, self-sufficient.
There's the moonshine still.
They're self-unist.
Mm.
I paid dearly for them. They have been passed down through the lineage of certain families since the Beast Wars.
Beast Wars?
Generations ago, the beasts enslaved our forefathers through terror and depression. They served the one with the glowing eyes.
And what happened to him, her?
No one knows. One day he went away, did not return. Our forefathers, they learned how the beast's weapons worked and led an uprising. The war was bloody, waged for many years. But eventually the slaves triumphed, and the masters became the slaves.
I mean, they were fortunate. They didn't have to kill the system lord who ruled this world. He just went away, so obviously somebody else killed him. Another system lord, probably.
Ooh,
perhaps it goes way back to when the system lords... Stop using Unis altogether and switch to humans.
Like the one at the auction that got away.
We have the glow stick.
Yeah.
That was used on Teok back in Enemies, wasn't it?
Was it used? I don't think so. Enemies was where Teok was at SGC.
There was an episode where Teok was chained up and...
Before Enemies.
I'm just wondering if you can be of any help there. The episode where Teok was chained.
I'm letting you two lively discuss the issue.
We've made some progress, actually.
Interesting. The only choice we had was to introduce new blood. Fortunately, I was able to find some.
They actually only have three Una suits, which is a bit of a problem. And when you see extra Unas, they're just ones wearing masks.
Oh, dear.
This one will make you the wealthiest beastmaster in the land.
See, Daniel's hair, it's just not right, is it?
No, it looks like he's back to Lego Man here.
Huh? He recognises him.
Yes.
He speaks?
It speaks.
Yes. Your name?
Yes. That's because he's mine.
Looks like a piece that's been stuck on.
Like a scene from early in the Planet of the Apes.
You said you came here to trade for an Unus, not to claim one of your own.
I just want to make sure he was here before we made an issue out of it.
I was saying, I suppose Daniel's fortunate that Chaka doesn't come to the conclusion that he's in on it.
All of them bear my mark. Yours had no such identification.
You heard him say my name.
I caught him in the wild of the other place.
Well, it was part of an experiment I was conducting. I'm sorry, but I really need him back.
I am sorry. You cannot have him.
Oh, dear. People with that, Jack's starting to get a bit...
less than happy?
I said the gun ain't the great leveller.
That would be so much more interesting if... Now, who uses binoculars with?
Does Colonel O'Neill require our assistance?
Thick sunshades. I mean, seriously. How the hell can you see anything? I presume that the binoculars would have an anti-glare coating built in.
I could offer another Unus in exchange. This one is of good stock, and he's already trained.
You don't understand. This one's name is Shaka, and he is coming with me.
I'll say, that's not much of a trade, is it, really?
Daniel?
Jack?
Why don't we discuss what we can offer the man in return?
That one is called The Shy One, played by Alex Zahara.
I see.
Shall we?
That one is called The Shy One, played by Alex Zahara.
I see. A lot of Unus in this episode.
Well, like I said, there's only actually three, but... but Alex was in 1969, The Hippie, if you recall.
The guy with the van?
Yeah.
And the cute girlfriend?
With the school bus.
Daniel, I'm not going to get into a firefight over this right now.
If you expect to trade for that Unus, do not think it will come cheap.
Like the producers say, it's the one way they can get actors back into the show repeatedly, by having them wear prosthetics.
Yeah.
Two Unus of equally pure lineage.
Well, this guy's being a dick.
Two for one, eh?
Your Unus is worth it, or you would not have traveled all this way. Besides, you obviously have more sophisticated methods for capturing and training them.
We'll think about it.
Well, again, this is his civilization, and the Unus is a commodity.
He's still being a dick. He's being a dick because he's trading in people. You're treating people as things. That's true evil.
The Unus aren't people, though, to his mind. He didn't even know they were capable of talking. If he didn't know they could talk, he couldn't even grasp the idea that they're sentient.
You, have some sort of plan to do something about this, or...
Well, right now I'm not sure I'm going to do anything.
How can you say that?
Daniel, you want to go out and catch a couple of Unas, trade them for Chaka, is that it?
I think you're missing the point here.
Am I?
You saw how they keep them, how they treat them.
Daniel, I'm not saying any of this is right. I'm saying I don't know what to do about it.
I'm not asking that we change their way of life, but Chaka wasn't born into this kind of domestication. He's known freedom his whole life. The Unas of his planet live together in families. They love their children. They have art.
Oh, yes, seen the cave drawings.
I will not leave him here like this.
I'd like to leave him alone with an Unus that's been possessed by a ghoul.
Well, that's the point.
I'd like to leave him alone with an Unus that's been enslaved by him.
Well, yeah. They know if they let the Unus go, the Unus will just wipe him out. And in recent past, the Unus ruled them. The fact that there were a symbiote inside them, they have no idea about that. They can't comprehend that because they probably don't even know about it.
And, of course, they can't afford James L. Jones' voice again, so...
True. But that Unus is dead anyway.
So what's going on?
They're using Unus as slaves.
They've been inbreeding them so long they've become untrainable. They needed new blood, and they have Shaka, and they're not giving them up.
So what are we going to do?
We'll wait until dark. Daniel and I will go in and extract them. You'll provide cover. And we're going to do it without taking human lives.
Ooh.
Simple plan.
I'm surprised Jack agreed with that.
Yeah, I think he sees Daniel's point in regard to Shaka, but nothing beyond that. I mean, Shaka isn't native to this world. The rest of them are.
Down.
Yes.
Yes.
Down.
I was going to say sit, but...
clearly the dog has done so.
Went down that fast.
See, those things.
Now, obviously, Caesar Milan hasn't visited this world.
Mm. The Unus Whisperer.
Just claim your space and be careful because he's got a mean right hook on him. Anyway, this town was shot in Border Town in Vancouver.
It's actually called Border Town?
Yes, I assume it's some sort of
town on the border.
Could be.
I know, it's amazing how I come to that conclusion.
Some sort of Wild West park. Either way, again, the same set that they use for Red Sky, but slightly redressed.
You can see Jack's point here, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's no military value. Jack has assessed them, decided they're not a threat, and he's going, OK, I'm going on now. See you.
There's no hidden cache of weapons or technology that they can discover.
Shocker.
I mean, the history of 20th century would be so much more peaceful if the major powers walked away because there wasn't much to be found there.
Yes, well, we're not for that sort of black liquidy stuff. Yes, you know, we can't kill good guys. Other people, for example, Malachi, can kill...
Oh, we can't kill good guys? Since when do we not kill good guys? How many times
have they... SG-1 can't kill good guys.
Well, not intentionally.
Kill them by accident, that's not a problem.
Well, that's not killing. That's more of a sort of third law thing.
He's not moving. Move back. I could have said that.
That's nice. Jack's like, I could have said that. Luna's tired.
Yes. Meanwhile, the producers of Roots go to see their lawyers about suing.
Oh.
All we need now is the Southern Belle, who's infatuated with the slave. It'd be a totally different sort of podcast, though.
Yeah, let's not do it. We'll save that for my Adriana's Dollhouse podcast.
This is interesting, you know, you may not be able to totally understand him, but he's getting the concept of communication.
It can talk.
It is really good prosthetic work, though.
Oh, yeah. You can see so much, even though basically the whole face is unmoving.
Martin Wood, the director, you know, really went to town praising the three actors who did this job, considering what they've got to work with. The actual expressing emotion and the different way to move, and it all adds character to the aliens.
You don't want to come, do we?
Well, think about it. If you were captured and enslaved and your friends came and rescued you, wouldn't you want to free the other humans who had been enslaved as well?
It depends if I liked them.
Well, apparently Shaka likes that guy. He said my name. He must be nice.
At least 10 men heading your way. We're laying down cover fire.
Ooh, there's actually tracers in there. Oh, Jack.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh...
Of course, the Zat gets them first time, unlike some previous episodes.
Yes, Jack's Zat resistance is low.
He must not be eating enough iron.
Well, probably he's been eating too much iron, you know? If he eat less iron, he wouldn't be as conductive.
Maybe.
Yes, you're not going anywhere, Jack. And they've even separated them. Now, a system lord would probably put them all in one cell.
And then we get an A-team style montage.
Yeah.
Colonel, do you read? Come in.
Oh, fortunate the radio got loose.
Got dropped, yeah.
Hmm.
Shaka must have grabbed that from my vest before it was taken away.
Why would he do that?
Because he's an intelligent being, Jack.
Give. Go.
They've a same little wedge. This morning I had to observe, and kudos to my sister-in-law for chasing after her just turned 4 and 19-month-old. I don't know how she gets the energy.
Because when you have kids that young, you have no choice but to have the energy.
Does explain the coffee maker.
A nice callback to when Shakar first kidnapped Daniel and he got introduced to the radio.
Okay, thank you.
Daniel,
Right. Sam, it's Daniel. Do you read?
Daniel, you okay?
Better.
Yeah, the deep sigh. We're in jail. Come and get us.
I'm not expecting a birthday present anytime soon.
Go. Now, this scene wasn't written as is. Alex actually decided to be the bridge and, you know, actually pick up the radio and pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped the evolution of that character from pretty much a downtrodden slave, the shy one, become a major player in the story.
For the next 22 minutes, anyway.
It's amazing what you can do in 22 minutes.
Oh, don't get me started. She knows where I was going with that.
Yeah, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you very much.
I was going any further.
Everybody knows where you're going with that, Alan.
Yes, dear. Of course, dear. Come on, you don't think I was going to find a way to say that at least once?
Well, I have my hopes.
Oh, dear.
To get reinforcements.
Roger that. Now.
Shaka.
Akana.
Ma. Ma. Ka.
Akana. Kelka.
Ma. Kan.
Akana.
Kanchana.
Grr. Growl.
Some subtitles, mate, would have been nice.
Yeah. Yes, that is straw. Very good.
Could be straw, it could be ground, or it could be...
Whale, bowl of cherries.
I'm wondering why, of all the times that Jack has spoken up, he doesn't say, what the heck is he saying right now?
What's he saying?
Now he says it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it means a lot of different things. In this particular case, I'd say, thank you for trying to free me. Sorry for getting you into this mess.
Chaco. Full of nuts, whatever.
Jack, it's not his fault.
Daniel, I'm chained up in a madman's barn with a bunch of Unas. Who's to blame is not at the top of my list of concerns. Just yet.
Chaco, full of nuts. You'll be dropping that one in, I take it. No, sorry, I was scanning through the transcript and it's just like, Shaka, knock, ye, shark, what?
Then allows Daniel to explain to Jack what was going on and kind of put Jack in his place a bit.
Oh, dear.
That's amazing.
What?
Language is a learned behavior. Shaka must have taught this Unus's word.
You can almost see the ideas forming.
Yes. Unfortunately, Jack's a little behind.
Shaka.
Daniel's in anthropologist mode, and he's not wearing a hat. Reference back to episode 3.
Well, we're there like that. You don't wear a hat.
We haven't seen Carter's hair. It must be in really sort of early season crappiness.
Well, unfortunately, Daniel hogged the hairdresser in this episode. Do something different with it. Wavy. Make it wavy.
Yes. Make it wave goodbye. I want to see bald Daniel.
Why?
We get bald Teal'c. I'm looking for equal lack of fairness.
Dogs sniff each other's butts, and they're friends for life. We still keep them as pets.
No, this is different.
I mean, you want a bald Sam as well?
No, bald women are weird. Takes me back to Star Trek The Motion Picture.
These Unas have pledged their allegiance to him because of that.
What do you say?
I'm saying that they want to be free. They recognize what that means.
All I said was Chaka So.
Chaka So.
I was wrong. Chaka isn't different. These Unas may have been born into domestication, but they still know what freedom means. They know it enough to want it.
You said yourself, this is their way of life here.
Well, it has to change.
How?
Well, we've meddled in other planets' cultures before.
Well, now you're talking about moving in an army.
I'd like to think that there was another way.
Yeah, Jack's not quite got it yet. These are very much not pets. They're not dogs.
Well, Jack is taking the viewpoint of Barak. Did you notice that? The guy is actually called Barak.
Burrow.
Oh, good. I was thinking they were being awfully predictive in terms of American presidentials.
They said in the commentary, this is very similar to how people have to deal with chimpanzees. You know, when you first start interacting with them, you treat them like pets. And then you sink into the mindset that they are an intelligent species. and you cannot treat them like you would a cat or a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jack's learning right now. And here we have, obviously, a trusted slave.
Yes.
Bringing the young Massa.
Poor kid.
Face it, kid, he's a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
Probably hurts Jack a little bit here, because he don't normally deal well when faced with young kids. He either adopts...
Well, it takes Jack back to the son shot himself with on gun place. It's not a place he likes to go. You actually said... Hang on. You said last week Jack always deals well with young kids. He gets on.
It depends how you mean deals with them.
Much as I hate to point out the inconsistencies.
You love to point out inconsistencies.
Thank you, dear. It's nice to be supported.
Well, I can be supportive or I can be precise. Take your pick. In this instance, they're not the same.
I'm being ganged up on here. I give up.
Yeah, right.
That little hand on the shoulder, again, underlining the fact that even the native Unas are far more than just wild beasts.
Trust me, Daniel, a whole lot of people are going to have to die around here before one Unas goes free.
Oh, dear.
They always find good vantage points, don't they?
They're trained for that kind of thing.
It's a forest. Getting clear line of sight, very difficult.
But if you've ever been in an actual forest, it's not neatly laid out like that. There's a local wood here, and it's managed, and it's still hard to get a clear line of sight longer than 60 feet. And that's on a path.
Yeah, Carter, what's your situation?
We're at the gate, sir, but it's heavily guarded.
We can attempt to get through, but it's going to get ugly.
All right, hold your position. Radio silence, gotta go.
Now, this is where they decide to take this character into a very dark place.
Mm.
He's not only armed with a pain stick, but he's got Jack's P90.
Oh, dear.
Beast stealing is punishable by death.
Grand Theft Beast.
Coming soon to PS3 and Xbox.
But that will be up to you. I also know there were others with you, and that they may try to rescue you. That would not be wise. I will not hesitate to kill you.
What do you want?
See, that's a mistake. You threatened Jack. Your life expectancy just got significantly shorter.
It really does.
Well, it's not only that. It's no point telling Jack and Co. if they try to rescue you, I'm going to kill you. That's why you've got to get that message out to the others.
I do not understand why you take such risks for this beast. He is very valuable to me, but certainly you can replace him with one of equal lineage.
Because they're not beasts. They're self-aware, intelligent beings. And you have no right to use them as slaves or treat them like you do.
They used our forefathers as slaves and treated them much worse than we treat our Unas.
And that makes you right.
Yeah, Barak's still not quite getting it.
No.
Untrained, uncontrolled. A beast would rip me limb from limb, eat me alive.
Then send them to their home world.
Our forefathers could have slaughtered them all, wiped them from the face of the planet. But instead, they saw a way to use their strength to our advantage. A way to coexist. For that, we thank them.
You don't coexist. You use them as slaves.
Why should he? His whole life has been with this mindset. And Daniel, very patient, very slow, very calm, you know, very soft voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I know for certain there is more out there.
Yeah, I know. The grass always looks cleaner.
Okay, this guy's logic is completely messed up. They're beasts. They have no sense of self, but they enslaved us previously.
I have no issues with the beast ripping him limb from limb. In fact, I quite look forward to it.
Chuck.
I will not continue to do nothing.
What are you going to do, Chuck?
I don't think they want to explore how the beasts acted back then and how they do now. Obviously, this happened probably, I don't know, pure guess, a couple of hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they ain't got any direct experience of Gwald Unas combination.
Yeah.
All they know is that once upon a time, they were the slaves to the Unas.
Yes, a Gunas.
Yeah. You don't worry about the details.
Whoa.
Oh, that's not...
How did he do that?
It was chained to the bars.
Oh, okay.
It's conductive. You're almost expecting his eyes to glow there, weren't you?
Okay, here's what I don't get. Why did the bars of the cage not conduct it as well?
They're actually proving to the Unas that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Oh, uncalled.
Brutal.
Oh, dear.
That was brutal.
And I'm sorry, are you seriously telling me the P90 is that recoilless? That it could just hold it one-handed like that?
Compared to a modern assault rifle, it probably is, because the actual chamber is in the stock.
Hmm.
This is where Burrock changed. They've set Burrock's future course of events in motion now. He's not a good guy. His actions can't be excused for being a product of his society. He cold-bloodedly killed a creature he had no reason to.
It seems to stop working after it's been fired for a while. I assume...
he's worked out what the clip is.
That's what these are for. Tell me how to make it work again.
Give it to me, I'll show you.
Okay, that was a good Jack line.
It was simple enough to learn how to shoot it. I will learn this part on my own as well. In the meantime, hunger and thirst will weaken you. Perhaps tomorrow you will tell me what I want to know.
You know, that's really not a good idea.
Yeah, all he's doing is making them even angrier.
All he's doing is ticking Jack off, and people who tick Jack off tend to have an even shorter life expectancy than people who fall in love with the character. You know, two big no-nos in the Stargate universe. Don't fall in love with the character unless you're Jack, and don't tick Jack off unless you're Carter.
Unless you're Carter.
See, it sort of reciprocates.
Well, in all fairness, Teal'c and Daniel get away with ticking Jack off too.
Well, Daniel doesn't tick Jack off. Daniel actually makes Jack think in ways that he doesn't really want.
Which ticks Jack off.
Yes.
I think Jack's Jack's a little too banjacked to be ticked off.
Until tonight.
I'm assuming he wasn't holding the radio when he got zapped, because otherwise the electronics would probably be fried. So the pain stick makes you sweat, eh?
I was going to say, how does unzipping his jacket help? Didn't it make Daniel sweat?
He does actually seem to be a bit bleh. Post sort of torture.
Look, Teal'c, maybe we could take out those four guys, but there's dozens more who'd be all over us in seconds. Then we'd have to get through the gate.
Diversion.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem when they're still refusing to kill people. But we're the good guys. We can't kill people.
Yeah, Carter. I got you.
Sir, what's your status? We heard shooting.
No, we're all right. One of the units took a hit. No, he's okay.
Mm. Yeah, Daniel, off that ear, again. That Tintin.
Mm.
Daniel's voting for a shoot our way out of this situation.
Yeah, well, Jack's kind of going, you know what, screw it, he tortured me, he killed the newness.
That's still your concern, please advise, over.
I don't think we're going to talk our way out of this one.
Well, for once, I'm not asking us to.
Collateral damage time?
Yep.
Damn it, Daniel. Let's get out of here. All of us.
Either nobody's getting out of here or we all are.
Yeah, and the reason we've only got three owners coming in with us is because we only have three owners.
We only have three suits.
Yeah, much as we'd like to have a whole crowd of owners, but you couldn't quite stretch to that.
Sir, still awaiting your orders.
Yeah, we've got three owners who are going to be joining us. Do what you have to do, Carter.
You look at the ratio, though, of Unus to townsfolk, and they're ripe for rebellion, aren't they?
You! Leave it! Come here!
It's a bit like sort of prisoners to guards. I mean, if the prison's actually... it's very... or police to policed, you know? It relies upon people not realizing that people in charge are outnumbered by about 50 to 1.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
We're just going to do a blow up the water barrels?
Apparently.
With a couple of pounds of C4.
Oh dear.
Okay, that's a pretty good distraction. I'll give him that.
Oh, that's what you thought about. Come on, blow up the water.
Yes.
Boom.
Before the fire spreads to the buildings!
Nah, if they'd only waited 20 seconds or so.
They could win.
But no, we can't kill them. Can't kill civilians.
Yes, we can.
Or is he just trying to draw them after him?
Yes.
Yeah.
So a character can zap them. How tempted is a character to shoot them a second time? I've got two zats now. Your character, you're leaving your back unguarded there.
Where's Tilk?
He's been the distraction.
Trying to be popular.
Where did you get the keys?
He stole it off the guard.
They ain't got any keys. They're going to blow the locks.
His leg?
Because, again, no smokeless explosives.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, she's cute. Don't go falling in love with the character, you get shot.
Stand back!
Kekka!
Kekka! Away from the bars, lads, away from the bars.
Are there little timers on those as well? I didn't see those.
Well, it must have been a radio signal, surely.
Yeah.
It was a remote control detonation, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Sequentially, to make it look good as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Obviously, a slow moving radio signal.
Yes.
Stop! Hey!
Oh, we can't have fire.
Who's watching the prisoners?
Put it down.
Yes, guy, there's five of us, there's one of you.
Yes. Run away! Run away, run away, run away.
Run away!
And there was much celebrating.
Yeah, Chaka points out, look, run, he runs away now. Perhaps if he stood his ground, things would have been different, but the Unas, the native Unas, are actually getting an eyeful.
Yes, I'm a strong leader. I eat people.
What shall I do with this one?
Chaka! It's okay, Chaka. Kane. Friend.
Can we zat him?
Big man. Big man. Challenging me.
Oh, it's Dig.
Think about the last black guy with a bald head and a staff weapon he saw was an enemy.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. At the very least, the way Tilt was standing right up to him, he'd challenging him as the alpha male of the group. Now, you may notice that in some scenes now, it's going to be actually chucking it down with rain, and others, it's going to be bone dry. That's because it was filmed in the morning and the afternoon, and the weather changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Where did Jack get a hat?
Hey, stop! Jacka!
Well, again, Daniel's been hugging your hairdresser so much that even Jack's hair can't get done.
Well, he didn't have a hat earlier in the cell. He did not have a hat.
Well, Sam probably carries...
Sam probably carries a few spare hats, you know.
Fan out cover.
Note he fired at the tree under the guy, not the guy. And this is Teal. We know Teal can be accurate with the staff weapon.
Which means that he meant to hit the branch.
Hey, that was Dan Shea.
She's not killed him directly.
Yeah, he might have broke his neck. But...
okay, he needs to be killed directly.
No, but actually, the guy she shot in the water...
No.
The guy she shot in the water probably got drowned.
Missed. How did he miss?
And I see Barrick is about as accurate a staff weapon as most people, including the average...
Oh, on him. Yes, not good. No, oof.
Ooh, Unas with staff weapon. So it's okay, yes. The Unas killed him.
Everybody, it's okay to cheer. He was a bad man.
At this stage, he'd established himself as being bad, therefore it was okay for SG-1 to kill him too. He was trying to kill them, self-defense.
This is the turning point.
Chaka! No!
Ooh.
Oh dear.
This is war, Daniel. Even the Unas know that in war people die. And now I've got two guns.
Yes, I've got an eye and lots of little Unas.
He's got his second in command as well.
Yes, and someone to shag, which might make him a little less angry.
That's not the female.
It's not?
No, that's not the female. The female was a waitress, he was a stable boy.
Sorry.
I know, individual lifestyles, they're free to choose what they want, but...
well, they're Unas. They all look the same to me.
They still need a male-female combination to create little Unas.
Chaka! Come on, we're taking you home.
Nona.
Nona, home.
Aka.
Nona.
Ho. Aka. Kek.
We did all this to save you.
Yes.
He's going to start wearing human skulls around his neck.
This is Mel Gibson scene. Freedom. Not any other Mel Gibson scene you might have seen recently.
He thought he was helping us escape.
So what does he want to do?
Stay and fight and free the others.
Yeah, so there's Daniel's hair plastered to his head.
Yes.
But Ryan, he's got very green eyes. You think they're the actor's eye colour or contacts?
Well, you don't see him wearing glasses very often now, do you?
I don't think we're going to stop them.
Well, later seasons you do.
I meant the Unus has green eyes.
Oh, sorry. I hadn't noticed anybody's eyes.
I thought he was talking about Daniel too.
Fair enough. I should have been specific. No, Daniel's eyes are sort of pale blue.
Well, the Unus will be contacts because, for a start, they haven't got a round iris.
Good point.
Now, Daniel's given us that gun. Now, is it just to give him another weapon or a weapon that can't kill or won't kill?
Actually, technically, it's a weapon that can disintegrate.
Shaka.
Yeah, another piece of vital strategic information which Teok failed to reveal until about 43 episodes in.
Little echoes of Star Trek, giving the oppressed the ability to fight on a level playing field.
A giant fly just flew in.
You just sent him out to start a war.
No, it was his choice. I told him they didn't have to kill.
Do you think he understands that?
They know what freedom is and they're willing to fight for it. They deserve a chance.
Jack should actually prove of it in a way.
And Daniel's looking dry again, and then wet again.
Daniel did clarify that he gave him that gun because it was a weapon that did not necessarily kill immediately.
Yeah.
Because he said he told them that they do not have to kill.
Yeah, in theory, good advice, but in practice.
So that were Beast of Borden. Final thoughts?
Not a terrible episode. Not one of my favourites of the season, I have to admit, but some great work from the actors who played the Unus. Larry Drake was excellent. Well, call him a bad guy if you wish.
I was not as tasteful an episode as I was expecting. I don't generally like the Unus, but the episode was actually better than I remember it being.
Once they treat him as a sentient life form, I mean, they've got not just one, Chaka, as the character. You know, you start treating him as a people. In many ways, they've got more development than the Nox had.
Yeah.
The position the Nox play in mythology of the series.
Other than annoying.
Yeah, basically, you know, dirty-haired hippies, as Alan has often commented.
Yes, tree-hugging hippies. with occasional inclinations towards Star Trek stardom.
Not a bad episode, though.
And next week's episode has, as I said off-air to Mike last week, possibly the worst blurb I've yet to see of this season.
Okay, so now I'm curious, because I've heard that statement before.
Entitled The Tomb, on a rescue mission to recover Russian soldiers believed missing in action on a previously undisclosed trip, SG-1 get trapped in a gold tomb with a number of decomposed bones and a deadly alien monster with an appetite for human flesh! Exclamation mark.
More like blurb from a Hammer film, isn't it?
That's a pretty bad blurb, you're right.
We have much experience.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
SG-1, move out.
The search is on for a lost patrol.
Something ate this guy?
It would appear there is no one left to rescue.
While an enemy lurks in the shadows.
What is it?
Better question is, where is it now?
In a mysterious tomb filled with deadly traps.
Get out of here!
Now escape is SG-1's only hope.
Any mention of a back door?
Because evil waits to strike. No one can be trusted.
Drop the weapon?
I don't think so.
And everyone could get buried alive.
Colonel O'Neill.
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
Okay.
I do have a question that I've been wanting to ask for a while, but I just never remember until today. Where do you guys get your information as far as who wrote it, directed it, et cetera, et cetera? The stuff that you go over during the sequence?
No, Mike listens to the commentary.
Well, not only that, you know, it's printed on the DVD sleeve.
The writer and director, yes. But Mike is our research bunny.
I always include a wiki link on the website. That'll take you to the wiki for that particular episode.
Okay.
You see, she gets it from iTunes. I don't think she goes to the website.
Yeah, I don't really ever hardly go to the website because I always download it from iTunes because that is the most effective way to listen to a Gatecast.
Because she has an Apple device.
Ah.
I do. Oh, Alan, have you tweeted that we have finished the episode itself?
We haven't finished it. We have to wrap up.
I did not say we finished recording. I said we finished the episode. There is a difference.
I generally only tweet when we're done.
Yes, dear. Of course, dear.
Sent her Small Gods and Pyramids. She hasn't read any of Divine's books.
I haven't even gotten Small Gods and Pyramids yet. That's the great part.
God, help me when she does.
Send them the old audio books. We're done with it.
Yeah, I'd rather actually still put more money in Terry's coffers while he has coffers to put money in. So coffers as opposed to coffins.
Yes, yes.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's 3 apocalypses in one.
Yay!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Karwick the Spider God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors? Infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Right then, that was Beast of Burden. As Alan says, next week we'll be featuring The Tomb. And when we get a Russian, well, more than one Russian, lots of Russians, and things obviously go wrong.
And, of course, do we get somebody that whose surname I can't pronounce properly?
That would be most of the Russian surnames, I'd imagine.
You know what I mean.
I think he's referring to Marina Sirtis, or Alan's Citrus.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of a blind spot there. And
he really does.
Can't imagine why. It's not as if I ever noticed cleavage. He said, failing to reference 13 episodes of Lost Girl.
Standard comment for Lost Girl. Oh, oh, cleavage.
Yes. And occasionally Kenzie cleavage.
Yeah, you don't really
good series.
It is a good series. That's actually one that I started watching because Alan kept mentioning it, actually.
I started watching it because it was mentioned all the time by Aaron on Sci-Fi Dig.
She managed to burn through 10 episodes in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's not bad going, ain't.
That's almost one Drew speed.
I normally need a rest after an episode to get over Anna Silk. Just, you know.
Moving swiftly on. Let's just draw a curtain over that.
Not so swiftly.
Come try ya!
Hi, folks, and thanks for listening, downloading, etc., etc., etc. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Thanks very much for listening, and hope to hear from you next week. And that, folks, is pretty much it. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Adriana, thank you for participating.
I had a blast.
Great. We'll have you back again then.
Works yes. For me.
Right. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike, and Scott. Visitors at gatecast.facecast.com.